You would turn with me now into God's Word. We're going to look this evening at Romans 6, along with that confession of the Lord's Day as we look at baptism. So if you would turn with me to Romans 6. If you are following along in one of the provided Bibles, you will find it on page 1130. Now to those of you who are with us regularly, you will see that I missed or skipped Lord's Day 25, but we had done a sermon on that when we had a baptism and a Lord's Supper at the same time, and so we are going on now to Lord's Day 26 this evening. So we're going to read the first 14 verses together. Let us now hear God's holy word. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was sacrificed with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So far, reading in God's holy word. Let us take a moment to pray and ask God's blessing. Gracious God and mighty Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may hear your word, that we may receive and understand the great benefits of baptism, that we may be encouraged to walk in faith, even as our baptism has called us. These things we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Beloved people of God, how often do you consider your baptism? How often do you think about those benefits that are received at your baptism as they were, the water was applied to you and the sign and the seal was placed upon you? Now, for many of us, it may have happened at a time that we don't even remember. It was an event that happened when we were so young, that we were infants, that we can't even recall that time that we were baptized. Others of us, it might have happened as we were adults and we can remember it, but it happened so long ago. Or it was that one-time event. It was significant at the time. But isn't our main focus now on what we did this morning? As we continually walk, we live knowing that sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we regularly celebrate that? Does this one-time event really have effect upon our lives now? Maybe sometimes we begin to think about it when a child is brought up here, or an adult who is baptized. But even at that moment, do we tend to focus on the event for that person? That this is about just them? That we are celebrating with them, forgetting about our own baptism? We might think it's all about them. It has very little to do with me. However, baptism, even though it is a one-time event, is not an event that is to be neglected. We should not forget our baptism. In fact, the Westminster Larger Catechism has this question about improving upon your baptism. What does that mean, to improve upon your baptism? And so it says, the needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long. Throughout our entire lives, especially in the time of temptation, and when we are present at the administration of it to others. Goes on to say that we do this by serious and thankful consideration of its nature, by being humbled for our sinful defilement, of our falling short and walking contrary to the grace of baptism. Also by growing up to assurance of the pardon of sin and of all the other blessings sealed to us in this sacrament. We are also to improve it by drawing strength from the death and resurrection of Christ, into whom we are baptized for the mortifying of sin in the quickening of grace, and by endeavoring to live by faith. So this act of baptism shapes and affects our lives. It shapes and affects our lives by faith. And improving our baptism is to live by faith in the truth of what it teaches, as it signs and seals upon us the promises of Jesus Christ. That He has washed us, that He has made us clean, and that we are no longer in the realm of sin and death, but we live by His grace. We live the life of faith that He has called us to. In question and answer 70 of our catechism, it says that this baptism has lasting effects and continues to set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Paul also roots the life of the believer in the truth of what baptism is all about. He shows that the truth of baptism guides one to live in light of that truth. In verse 3, he calls on the church in Rome to remember their baptism so that they remember their union with Christ. For in Christ they have had this definitive break with sin. And they are to walk in that newness of life. So our theme this evening is that those who have been baptized have been baptized into Jesus' death and raised to new life. Again, those who have been baptized have been baptized into Jesus' death and raised to new life. And as we look at this theme, we will first of all look at that question in which Paul proposes a problem that can be inferred from the act of free grace. And then we will look at Paul's solution to that problem as he points to baptism. And so Paul starts off this section by asking a question. Much like our catechism, he has been using a sort of question and answer teaching to go through and teach what God has done. And he often says, "What shall we say then? What does this mean? What does this have to do with us?" And here in verse 6, he starts off saying, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase?" Here Paul is addressing what may be considered, as he has just finished teaching that great doctrine of free grace. That doctrine that we looked at, that teaching that we looked at last week, as we talked about how only through faith do we receive this grace. Only through faith do we have peace with God. Only through faith are we right before God, that we can fellowship with Him, that we can live with Him. Because even our most righteous works, the things that we can bring before Him, are still just filthy rags in His sight. They cannot accomplish bringing us to peace with God. And that's what Paul has just been saying. If you look back at chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He too has been speaking about that doctrine of being justified, being made right, being declared righteous before God. Not because of anything that you can do, but because of what He does for you. And he comes to this point in which he says in verses 20 and 21, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He has said that the law has come, and it has shown our sin. And we have sinned all the more by rebelling against even that law. But this law and its weakness still does not stop God's grace. For God's grace is so much greater than all our sin. God's grace is greater than our rebellion and transgression against Him. Now people then would say, as the catechism even asked, "But doesn't this just encourage people to sin? Doesn't this just encourage people to say, well, if I can't bring anything to God, then I might as well just keep on sinning. And then God's grace can be abounding. It can show God's glory all the more because I have sinned so great and he is still accepting me. Paul's answer to this is absolutely not. Certainly not. May it never be. He is appalled at the very idea that anyone could even come to this conclusion. He is repulsed that anyone would abuse God's grace in this way. And so he goes on. And he asks that question. You who once lived in sin, how can you still live in it when you have died to it? He asks that question if there is that true and definitive break with sin, as death must be. A break, a complete break from sin. You have died to it. Then how can you continue sinning? Because it is a transition. A transition from the realm of sin, from that old man Adam, who brought into this world sin and death. And it brings us into this new life. A new life with God. Paul uses this question to introduce the solution to the problem that free grace encourages people to sin so that grace may abound. So how does Paul teach them the reality of what's going on? He tells them to think about their baptism. Think about what happened at your baptism. What does that sign mean? What does that seal upon you? For he tells them that those of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Now this death is a unique one-time death. In verse 10 it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. That is why baptism is no longer bloody as circumcision was bloody, because Christ's blood was shed. He suffered the pain and the punishment for your sin. It was a one-time act, a one-time sacrifice that brings about that forgiveness. And that is why we are baptized into the likeness of this death. It is into the likeness of this death that we are baptized. It is because his death was that high priestly death. That death that made atonement for the people of God. That death that was foreshadowed in the priests. The priests who would year after year go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for sin. And he would put on that breastplate. That breastplate that bore the names of the children of Israel. And he would bring them into the presence of God, sprinkling that blood. But Jesus, as our even greater high priest, makes the one-time sacrifice once for all, and he bears us upon his heart in the heavenly places that we might have peace with God. That despite all our sins, we are declared righteous because of him. Despite all our failures. But the likeness of this death that we are baptized in means that we are freed We are freed from that reign of sin and death and punishment and separation from God. We no longer have to live as instruments of unrighteousness. We no longer have to let sin reign in our mortal bodies and obey its lusts, because it no longer has its power over us. Baptism points to that fact that we are united to Him. We are united to Him in His death. We are no longer in that realm of death and sin, but we are resurrected into His life. So, beloved people of God, how often do you consider your baptism when you are being tempted by sin? When you are being tempted to love the things of this world more than God. When you know that thing that you're going to do is wrong, it is a transgression against God, it is a rebellion against God. Do you consider your baptism? Do you say to yourself, no, I've been united with Christ in my baptism by faith. This no longer has to have control over me. This no longer has to be my way of life. I can live a life by God, by His Spirit, being encouraged to live righteously before Him. For we are justified, we are cleansed, and we can put that old man to death, and we no longer have to be slaves to sin. Improving upon our baptism calls us to continually live in the promises signed and sealed in that baptism, that we are united to Him. We are no longer in the domain of sin and death, but in His righteousness by faith. But we have not only been united in His death, but we have also been united in His resurrection. The end of verse 4 continues in that implications of baptism as it says, therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Not only is His death our death, but we are also united to His life. His perfect and righteous life that is applied to us. We can no longer be killed. We are no longer under His just wrath. Yes, we die a physical death, but we walk in the newness of life brought by His Spirit. We have been renewed by His Spirit in that baptism. For Titus 3, 5 and 7 says this, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewed by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In our baptism, we also have that great life. A life that we can live as Romans 6:13 says, that we present ourselves as alive from the dead, and as members, as instruments of righteousness to God. We are those instruments of righteousness that bring praise and glory to God's holy name. We have been brought out of that realm of death into the realm of life through baptism, which we receive through faith. So, beloved people of God, can you now see why Paul would be so appalled at any who felt that the teaching of free grace only encourages people to be wicked? For grace takes one out of the realm and reign of sin and puts them into the realm of life in Christ, a life that is dead to sin and alive in His resurrection. Beloved people of God, do not forget that you have been baptized. Do not forget the truth that this assures us to. It needs to be an encouragement to live increasingly holy and blameless lives, to turn away from that old man and put it to death. We must be who we are. Baptism announces who we are. So, people of God, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and mighty Father, we thank you for the blessing of your Spirit, which washes us and renews our hearts, that we may see the sign and seal of baptism as our very own through faith. Would you continue to help us to live righteously before you, not in our own works, not in our own strength, but as followers of Jesus Christ because of what you have done, because of the promises that you have given to us, that we are no longer condemned. We are justified. We are righteous before you. Now help us be who we are. These things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.